Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for kicking off your week with us. This is your Monday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. We are a Sports Ethos presentation, of course, and I'm your host, Joe Orico. You can find me over on Twitter at JoeOrico99 and also at EthosFantasyBB. That's where we post all of our new content here at Sports Ethos on the baseball side. Podcasts, articles, polls, news and notes, you name it. We got it over there, ETHOSFantasyBB. And I just want to say at the top here, thank you so much to everybody who has followed me on Twitter. I just hit 10,000 followers this morning. It's a number that I never thought I would reach, but I am very grateful to all you guys who support my work. If you listen to the podcast, you follow on Twitter, you subscribe to the website, like all of that really means so much to me. I never thought we'd be in this position, but it's been a great run over these last couple of years, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without the support of all of you guys listening. So thank you very much. But we are going to get into the content today. We're going to be going over the weekend. We're going to be talking about some of the big news and notes from Saturday and Sunday. And we're also going to be talking about some stuff that's happened today in Monday's games, and also a piece of news about a player who was sent down, which was kind of a surprise. You probably know who I'm talking about already. And then we are going to be talking about some of the players who are being added a lot today and some of the drops as well over on the Yahoo format. Based on the polls I did in the preseason, about half of my listeners play on Yahoo, so that's where we talk about a lot anyway, in terms of ads and drops, roster percentage rates, and that sort of thing. But let's talk about Saturday. And we're going to start off with a name that's not super, super interesting, but he has the potential to actually be very interesting, and that's Mark Canha. He, on Saturday, went 3-for-5, a nice little combo meal, and it was a combo meal and then some, because not only did he have the homer and the stolen base, but 3 runs and 3 ribbies for him, had a hit the following day as well. He's batting right in the middle of that Tigers lineup. He is first base and outfield eligible on Yahoo. That infield outfield is really nice. And honestly, I think it's kind of not been fair the way that the Tigers have been talked about. Their lineup is not too bad. That top 4 or 5 is actually sneakily kind of pretty good. Parker Meadows is somebody that I've really liked as a potential breakout this year. A lot of people have. Spencer Torkelson did break out last year. He hit that 30 home run mark, and we know that he can potentially do a lot more than that. And Kerry Carpenter also kind of had a semi-breakout there. That's a pretty decent top three. It's not the Dodgers' top three, but I think the people have been kind of unfair to them. You got Riley Green in the 4 spot, who's, you know, very highly touted prospect, who's, you know, it's tricky to project if he's going to break out this year, but I think there's a good chance that Riley Green does pan out as a big leaguer, and he's looking, you know, not too bad. I feel like, you know, just the discourse around the Tigers in general, I don't really understand it. I'm not a Tigers fan by any means, but I think that they're better than they're given credit for. And then you got Canha slotted into that 5th spot right behind them, somebody that's going to play against righties, against lefties. So there's no real worry about, like, he's going to be sitting a lot. You can slot him into a weekly lineup. You can slot him into a daily lineup. And the production is actually sneakily pretty good for Mark Canha. 11 homers, 11 steals last year. He batted .262. Like, generally, the batting average is pretty solid. We've seen him go well over 20 homers before. He's generally in, like, the 15-ish type of range, but there's a bit of speed there as well. Double-digit homers and speed with good batting average in a decent lineup where there's an RBI spot. I'm not saying you run and add Mark Canha in 10-team leagues, but I think he's kind of interesting in 12 and deeper, especially in 15-team leagues. He should be rostered in all 15-team leagues. 6% just feels like a very low number for what I think that he is capable of doing in that lineup. Not to say he's going to win you your league or anything, but I think he's a really solid piece that's kind of being undervalued a little bit. Let's talk Grayson Rodriguez, his first start of the year. 6 innings, 9 strikeouts, 1 earned run, 1 walk, and 4 hits against. This is great stuff from Grayson Rodriguez. It's what you want to see. Now, he's facing the Angels. Okay, you know, nothing crazy there, of course, but we've seen some great pitchers, some very good pitchers anyway, get off to some terrible starts. So just wanted to put it out there. Great start to the season for Grayson Rodriguez. And I feel like we got to mention Mookie Betts here as well. Obviously, there's no real fantasy move that you can make right now because Mookie Betts, first of all, if you want to try and sell high, there's no real sell high on Mookie Betts because he was like the third or fourth player by ADP. You're not going to be buying him because you'd be paying an astronomical price right now. But Mookie Betts homered in each of the first four games of the season. He has 9 runs. He's driven in 10. He is batting .500, and he already has accumulated a whole WAR, 1.0 wins above replacement, already through the first 5 games of the season. Actually, is it 6 now for him? Yeah, it's 6 games, but that is just ridiculous. I just feel like that needed to be mentioned. When you've accumulated 1 WAR through 6 games played, you're doing all right. Let's talk Jarrett Jones. His debut was spectacular. Like, this was just fantastic stuff. He fanned 10. He got the victory. 3 earned runs on 3 hits. Like, this was about as good as you can possibly expect from a guy who's making his debut. Now, he's an add. He's absolutely somebody that you should be adding, and you should be tentatively maybe starting. I mean, it's the Orioles. It's a tough matchup, but I think, you know, I've kind of gone back and forth on this one a little bit. But first of all, like, the add is the main priority. Whether you start him or not this week, because it's the Orioles, I wouldn't fault you either way. 42% in Yahoo leagues, like, he needs to go well above that. We saw some terrific stuff. If you look at the Stuff Plus numbers, he is, like, I think the third best mark of any, or actually he might have been second best of anybody so far in terms of Stuff Plus marks, in terms of pitchers that have started. And, you know, it was pointed out by a few people so far just talking about Stuff Plus on Twitter, like, the pitchers that have gone so far, generally speaking, the first 3 games of the year where these numbers are from are, like, the best pitchers in the league, right? Those are the guys who are getting the first starts of the year. So he's up there with the best of the best in terms of the stuff. I feel like he's going to have the opportunity. They're not going to, you know, let him go 200 innings or something ridiculous, but I think that there's a chance we see him 130 or so. He's pitched 120 plus innings each of the past 2 years. Like, he could get to 160, and the fact that he's sitting out there on waiver wires, I think, is kind of ridiculous. Now, in terms of the Orioles, it's a tricky one. It is a tricky one. I think, honestly, it's up to your gut. Like, I'm probably going to start him, I think, in the one league where I do have him. I just, there's something about when these guys kind of catch magic at the beginning and you don't want to miss out on it. At the same time, you would not be faulted for saying, I'd rather sit a bad start than start a good one. Or, excuse me, I'd rather sit the good start than start the bad start, right? Because, you know, for obvious reasons, right? You miss out on the good one, okay, it doesn't really hurt you. It does kind of hurt you, but you're not actually having, like, 6 earned runs or whatever potential badness on your roster. So the long and short of it is, trust your gut. I think that it would probably turn out okay against the Orioles. They're a very good lineup, but I think that it would probably be all right to start him, tentatively saying that for now. And again, it could blow up on you, but I think that I'd feel pretty okay about starting him. Let's talk about Zach Littell. He got the victory against the Blue Jays. I watched every pitch of this outing. 6 innings pitched, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks. He only allowed 4 hits, and, you know, getting the W there is obviously massive for those who started him. I have him in a couple leagues. I did start him. The question is, first of all, why is he 19% rostered on Yahoo? He's a starting pitching and relief pitching eligible player, which is actually huge to be able to just have that versatility, especially in daily lineups, to be able to move these guys around. That's SPRP eligibility is huge, and he has it. He's only 19% rostered. 19%. He should be well above 50% rostered. Tampa is a ridiculous organization in terms of what they're able to do with starting pitchers. Does it always pan out beautifully? Not always, but generally speaking, especially recently, their track record is incredible. The first start of the year was great stuff. Like, you couldn't ask for more. Now, you're picking him up. He's going into Colorado into Coors Field. I think that that's probably a sit for me because he's not quite in that circle of trust where I'm starting him in Coors. You know, they're a terrible team. Like, they are just an awful dumpster fire of a team. But that park is still scary, and even that team can put up some crooked numbers in Coors. And I don't think Littell is quite into that circle of trust yet. I think in a deep league, maybe you could be forgiven for it, but I think a lot of you guys are playing 10- and 12-team leagues. There's no need for Zach Littell. You probably have some better options this week. But that being said, what the hell are you doing? Go pick him up. 19% is insulting, and he should be well above that. I want to give a shout-out to Jared Walsh just because it's really great to see him back in the major leagues and so far doing pretty damn well for Texas. I'm not saying he is somebody that we got to be adding up in fantasy, although in 15-team leagues, I think there's some viability there. But he's hit a home run already. The major thing is I personally kind of wrote him off. I didn't think that we were ever going to see Jared Walsh back at the big league level after what he dealt with in terms of injuries. It was a bad couple of years. I believe it was thoracic outlet syndrome. I forget exact. I think that's what it was. There was a few different injuries, but I kind of thought that he was done. It was really a tough couple years where he wasn't playing at all, and he ended up getting designated for assignment. And the big thing was, like, he had that massive 2021 year. 2022 was kind of a down year, and then nothing really since. So it's just kind of great to see him getting a good role here for a good organization, a good team. First base and outfield eligibility is kind of nice. If you are in a 15-team league, I think you can be justified in adding him. That lineup is exceptional. I don't think that he's going to be, you know, again, not a league winner type, but in deep enough leagues, I could definitely be persuaded into adding him. I can't remember exactly what the injury was now, and I can't. Was it TOS? I'm asking, there's nobody there? Yeah, it was thoracic outlet surgery. That's what he did have. And a lot of the time, players don't come back from that at all. So just wanted to give him a shout out for what he's been doing. He's somebody to really monitor. Let's talk about Michael Conforto, because Michael Conforto has been a popular ad, and I can understand it. Early in the season, he's hit a couple of home runs. He's looked pretty good. People want to jump on things like that. For me personally, pitchers are a lot more of a priority at this point of the year in terms of your ads. So that's one aspect of it. You probably only have 4 ads for a given week, so you got to be kind of careful. Different leagues have different rules, obviously, so that doesn't apply to everybody. But a guy like Michael Conforto, where there's a couple of early home runs, which is nice, but I don't know how sticky that is. Like, you see a pitcher come out there like Jared Jones, and the stuff is just absolutely absurd. It's like, okay, that is a clear indication that we should be adding him. Michael Conforto hits a couple home runs. You know, it's like the Trace Thompson thing. And the guy, I already forget his name, from the Reds, Martini, from opening day, who hit 2 home runs. It's like, how sticky are these things really going to be, right? Not to disparage Conforto so much, because he does have some very good seasons under his belt, but we're kind of a long way removed from that. The last great year he had was 2019, when it was the happy fun ball year, and he hit 33 homers, drove in 92, he stole 7 bases, he was fantastic. 2020 was actually very good as well, in the short season, but it was 54 games. 2021 was bad. 2022 was bad. Or excuse me, 2022, he didn't even play, actually. He was hurt, didn't sign, missed the whole year. 2023, he comes back, and he was very, very pedestrian. 15 homers, 4 stolen bases, and a .239 batting average. If you're playing very deep leagues, again, like 15-teamers, yeah, warm bodies generally are good to go in 15-teamers. If you're even like projected for 100-plus games in 15-team league, like, odds are you're on a roster, and that's totally fair. But like I mentioned earlier, like, a lot of you guys are probably 12-team players. And when I see a guy like Michael Conforto, he's been added in 8,200 leagues on Yahoo today. 8,200 people have taken the plunge. If you have a 5 outfielder format, I think you can be kind of forgiven for that. But a lot of Yahoo leagues are set up as 3 outfielders. And a lot of them, like I said, 10 and 12-team leagues. So you're talking 30 to 36 outfielders in starting lineups. Let's call it, you know, a few others in utility maybe. And then on the bench, so maybe like 45 outfielders, be generous, maybe 50 outfielders are going to be rostered in a lot of those leagues. And be honest with yourself, is Michael Conforto a top 50 outfielder? There's a very low probability of that coming. So if you have a free spot and you're thinking, okay, I want to just, you know, get a little bit of juice where he's maybe hot right now, it's a daily league, I don't have to invest a lot in him, I just have an IL guy that I can do an easy replacement for, you know, fill your boots. I don't think that that's terrible, but don't get so invested in Michael Conforto and be dropping a lot of, like, you know, if you're playing a lot of leagues, dropping a lot of other players for shares of Conforto. I think that he's not somebody who really interests me a hell of a lot, and I worry when I see him being added up as much as he is. I think it's a little bit of a concern for me. Let's talk about Yoshinobu Yamamoto. So we were all worried. We were very worried, of course, after that first start of the year because it was horrendous. One inning, he allowed, what was it, six earned runs or whatever it was, or five. It was five earned runs in that first game in Korea. It was horrible. He was moving down draft boards. People were fading him. And he comes back and he has a great start against St. Louis. This is exactly what we were hoping for, exactly what I think a lot of us were expecting. And none of us, I don't think a lot of people were fully writing him off after that one start, but he went from like a second rounder in some drafts to like a fourth, fifth, sixth rounder. So people were kind of fading him pretty heavily, but five scoreless, no decision against the Cardinals. He allowed two hits and no walks, struck out five. This is great stuff. Obviously, there's no real fantasy move to be made here, but I think some people might have gotten a real nice discount if you were drafting in that, you know, couple days right after the bad start. Then you probably got yourself a very, very nice deal here. All right, we've talked about some good stuff from Saturday. Let's talk about the shit end. Let's talk about the Phillies and the Braves game and a couple of starting pitchers in that one who did not fare well. Max Fried did not get out of the first inning, struck out a batter. That was about the only positive thing we can say. Three earned runs. He walked three, allowed a couple hits. He got screwed on a 2-2 pitch to Nick Castellanos. I tweeted it out. It was all over the place. He threw a fastball that was pretty much, I think it was a fastball. I could be wrong, honestly. But it was pretty much right down the middle, right down Broadway, and it was called a ball. It was a 2-2 count. He ended up losing the batter, and then the next two or three guys each ended up getting hits, and it was just, you know, nightmare scenario for Max Fried and for people like myself who have a few shares of him. A lot of people have shares of Max Fried, obviously, as their SP1. That's kind of where you were investing. Maybe you got him as your second starting pitcher, but...
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is not what you want to see by any stretch. It is also not anything to be overly concerned about, and you can potentially buy low on Max Fried and his counterpart, Aaron Nola. We'll talk about him in a sec, but this is the kind of time of year where people are overreacting, like the Michael Confortos of the world, the Nick Martinis, you know, hitting home runs on opening day, and everything. People are overreacting to pretty much everything. If the Max Fried owner, manager, rosterer in your league is kind of worried at this point, or they're, you know, them personally, and there's a group chat, and they're saying, oh my God, what have I done with Max Fried? Throw an offer out there that's not full value. Throw an offer out there that's like 90% of Max Fried's value, 80%. And maybe you get lucky, because again, we shouldn't read really anything into one bad start where it's one inning. It's like, what did he face? Seven batters, eight batters, we're going to write him off. No, I don't think anybody's going to fully write him off, but even if you are able to get any kind of a discount in a trading league on Max Fried, I would be going ahead and doing it. Now, Aaron Nola, seven earned runs. He struck out three. He walked a batter, allowed 12 hits. It's the same deal, right? I'm a little lower on Aaron Nola than I thought I would be, but this is still a situation where you can buy low. I think Nola even more so than Fried. I think a lot of people with Fried, like, you know, he's viewed in a much more positive light these days than Aaron Nola. I guess in some other ADPs were fairly close, actually. You know, I think about it. I guess maybe just in my own head, I view Max Fried a lot more positively than Aaron Nola, but there's still a chance that you can get a couple rounds value on an Aaron Nola or a Max Fried type just because of a horrible, horrible blow up start. It's not what you want to see, but it's nothing to be overly concerned about here either. I am really, really not too worried. All right, that's Saturday. Now let's go over and talk about some of Sunday's stuff. Let's start off with Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty appears to be back to his old self. He had a really, really strong spring and a great first start of the season. Six innings pitched, he struck out seven, only allowed one earned run, and did not walk a batter. He's an absolute must-roster player right now. If Jack Flaherty is still sitting out there on waiver wires, I don't think it's many competitive leagues at this point, but damn it, it's only 61% on Yahoo. He's got to be added. Like, absolutely, absolutely needs to be added. Right now, he's tentatively scheduled to face the Oakland Athletics next week. So even if you don't have, you know, long-standing belief, like you don't think that he's going to be a stud, like I'm not fully bought back in. I think that he's somebody to invest in at this point as a free agent. I don't know if I'm bought in as like he's fully back. He does look like he's back to his old self for now. But even if you don't believe, you got to add him for that Oakland start, right? Like what's the rationale in your head for not streaming him? You're streaming a lot worse pitchers against Oakland than somebody who had a great spring and just got off to a great start, albeit against a terrible lineup in the White Sox, but he's facing an equally terrible lineup likely in the Athletics. I mean, the Athletics are probably worse. They actually are likely worse. I don't know, actually. That's kind of a toss-up. But I think you get the gist of it. If you're not a believer in Jack Flaherty, then that's nothing to be ashamed of because I'm not fully either. But at the very least, you got to get ahead of the game and add him for that start against Oakland. That's what it looks like it's going to be, and I would be adding him if you are still able to. Let's talk about this Detroit bullpen situation, which is kind of a nightmare for anybody with Alex Lang shares. We have mentioned this already. I've talked about it a lot on Twitter. Jason Foley got his second save of the season. They're both kind of weird ones where he didn't start out the ninth inning. It was a matchup thing, I believe, and then he came in and got the final two outs in both of them. But I think that at this point, Alex Lang is a very easy drop. I personally was dropping him in 15-team leagues last night, and I picked up a couple of Kevin Ginkle shares in my NFBC leagues. Fab runs on Sunday night, the weekly waiver wire pickups, and I got a couple of Kevin Ginkle shares. Didn't get any Foley. I was more interested in Ginkle because I think that he's more solidly in that role, at least for now. Foley is still kind of a bit of a question mark, I think, but at the same time, he appears to be the guy that they're interested in. I think that Ginkle is the preferred pickup between the two of them right now. And I think that in my mind, Ginkle is probably the preferred pickup for anybody in terms of fantasy baseball closers. You could argue somebody that we are going to touch on in a minute here, but I think that Ginkle is probably my lean. That being said, Foley is still a great pickup, especially if you drafted Lang and you need to replace him. He is the guy that I would go to. Do I think that Foley is now just the 30 save guy? He's going to be the closer all year. I wouldn't bet my life on it. It looks pretty promising for now, especially if you invested in like a draft and hold league in Jason Foley shares. You're probably smiling ear to ear right now. But this is not a situation where I think that we can say like, oh yeah, he's like a top 10 closer, top 15 closer. Like we're not at that point. But he is definitely still a pickup, specifically if you have Alex Lang shares. It's an easy one for one if you're able to do it. Garrett Whitlock had an amazing, amazing start. Five innings pitched, allowed one earned run, struck out eight, and did not walk a batter. He got a chance in the rotation because of injuries to the Red Sox. I was about to say White Sox for whatever reason, mixing up my Sox colors. He got a chance because of injuries, and I think he's going to be here to stay. Like, Giolito's not pitching this year. That's just a spot that he can, like, naturally kind of one for one there. I don't know how you want to work it out in your head because there's moving parts in that rotation, but that's kind of how I've come to view it. I think he should be added in all but maybe the shallowest of shallow leagues. I think pretty much everywhere you can comfortably add Garrett Whitlock, and there's a good chance that he is able to return top 60 SP value, top 70 SP value at worst, I think. Like, I just think he's really, really damn good, and it looks like his next start is going to come against the Angels in Los Angeles. So, again, even if you're not a full believer, which you probably should be, especially with the starting pitcher, relief pitcher eligibility you get on Yahoo, he's a great streamer for that game. So we'll talk about him probably ahead of that one again. But 34% roster on Yahoo right now is something that definitely should be changing. He should be added up wherever you can find him. Let's mention Michael King. This was kind of a holy shit type of outing. He walked seven batters. If you exclude that part of the line, the rest of it was kind of good. Six strikeouts, he only allowed two hits, two earned runs, but seven walks is absolutely outrageous. He was also down a couple ticks across his arsenal, which you can maybe expect from a reliever converting to a starter, but it's not something that's going to bode well for whatever the reason is. I've made the point a couple times on Twitter for him and for a couple of converted guys, that once that change comes from a reliever to starter, like you're losing velocity, it's a bad thing. Well, it's because he's converting. That's not, it doesn't change the outcome that there's less velocity there, whatever the reason is. I think that this Juan Soto trade is going to turn out terribly. There's been so many pieces, and I guess you could say it's almost like he was traded for Dylan Cease in a type of way, however you want to justify it, but It looks pretty horrendous right now. I know it's one start. I don't want to overreact, but I've been saying it for a lot of the offseason that Michael King was not somebody I was interested in. I did not draft him anywhere. I think that he's going to end up back in the pen, and he's going to probably fall very short of returning his draft day cost. I just don't think there's a hell of a lot there in terms of a long-term SP outlook. Let's talk Brady Singer. This one is pretty interesting. Probably had the best start of his career. He went 7 innings, struck out 10, did not allow an earned run. One walk, 39% CSW. I don't know how much you want to read into it. But at the same time, again, we're looking ahead for streaming. He's facing the White Sox next. Where I have him, a couple of leagues where I do weekly formats, I've put him into my lineups. For what it's worth, they're 15-team leagues. But Brady Singer is happily going into my lineups for next week. He's only a year removed from doing great things in 2022. Last year was garbage. It was terrible. But, you know, I never want to throw it away. I say that line myself about you can throw away this, you can throw away that. You obviously have to look into it. But there is a chance that he's able to bounce back and kind of get close to what he did in 2022, and that was a breakout SP season. So I think that Brady Singer definitely does have some intrigue here. And certainly, maybe if you're not, again, invested for the long term, in the short term, you definitely should be. We got a bad version of Tyler McGill, and then he left with shoulder soreness. So you guys, if you listen regularly, you've heard the show for a while. Going back, you know, to the beginning, the early days of the show, I've been a Tyler McGill fan. This is ugly stuff. He left with shoulder tenderness after striking out 4-3 walks over 4 innings, allowed 1 earned run. He's a safe drop in all but, you know, the incredibly, incredibly deep leagues. And even there, I think that you can probably say, okay, shoulder soreness to go along with the inconsistency already. Bad start here with a couple or 3 walks. I think you can pretty safely drop him if you're holding on in a 10 or a 12-team league. I'm holding on that one day we can get Seiler back. But I think, you know, the 3% of people who are still holding on in Yahoo leagues, it's not great. And the report today, actually, that has just come across, I'm just looking at a couple of blurbs. He's aiming for a brief shutdown. He was put on the 15-day IL just earlier today. And that's literally just popping up on the feed right now. So if you want to IL him, I guess if you have the room, a lot of us don't already at this point of the year. But I don't think that he's a priority stash. I'm hoping that one day this can pan out, but I'm losing hope in Tyler McGill. We're going to be keeping a close eye on the Phillies bullpen because it's been kind of a question all offseason of which of the 5 guys that could potentially get saves are going to get the saves. But it was Jose Alvarado that got it yesterday. And in my opinion, he's the arm to own in that bullpen above all others. He had a dreadful, dreadful first appearance of the season. It was a nightmare. Watching it, I wanted to throw up. It was terrible. He bounced back a couple days later, gets the save. I think that he is going to be the guy. And even if he's not, like, you know, given the crown and he's proclaimed the closer, he's still somebody that I think is going to be getting the, not somebody, he is the guy that I think will get the majority of the saves in that pen. And even if it's 20, to go along with massive strikeout rates and what have been historically great ratios from him, I think that he's a great pickup if you're seeing him out there anywhere. 83% on Yahoo. It's not likely he's out there in your league, but there's a chance he is. If you are in need of saves, if you have been a victim of Tevin Williams or Juwan Duran or Kenley Jansen going down or any of the above, I think that Jose Alvarado, if he is sitting there, even in a shallow format, should be somebody that you do pick up. Now, the Jeff Hoffmans or Anthony Dominguez and Gregory Soto and all the rest of it, like, it is going to probably be a little bit annoying, and there might be times where one of those other guys gets a save and you're cursing my name for picking him up. But I think that Alvarado will be the guy, and I've been on this train all offseason, that will end up with the most saves in that pen, and I think that he will be worth it in pretty much every league size, even just for the massive strikeouts and, you know, like I said, historically very good ratios that you get out of him. But elite strikeout rates from relievers, even if it's just the odd save and he ends up with, you know, 18 to 20, that can still be incredibly, incredibly valuable. I really, really can't say enough about how much I like Alvarado and trust him for this year, but let's talk about Tyler Wells. Really solid start against the Angels. 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 7 strikeouts, and a 38% CSW. Massive number for Tyler Wells. He's only rostered in, and that was 54% when I put these notes together. Let's see if it's changed at all. 55%. So he's gone up 1%. I think it's ridiculous that he's not on more rosters. What are we doing? Again, another guy where, and this is kind of a common theme today, if you don't trust him long-term, but he is, of all the guys we've talked about today, in terms of starting pitchers, he might be the guy that I do trust the most. This is egregious that he's only on 55% of rosters. He should be on 100% of rosters. A massive, massive asset to your whip, who has some strikeout upside. You know, there's not, no strikeout upside there. Like, he can be like a mid-20s percent guy. Like, he's not going to blow you away and be, striking out 30% of batters. But he can be like, last year was 24.9%. Even if he's 23, 24, that's still very, very valuable. On a great team, like, there's really not a lot there other than just add him. He needs to be on every roster. And it's ridiculous that he's still available in almost half of Yahoo leagues. I really like Tyler Wells. I've been a fan for a while. When the position opened up for him to get the job in the rotation, that's when everybody should have been pouncing on him, especially in those later drafts. And I think he was still undervalued, and he's just perennially undervalued for whatever reason. But I would definitely be taking a look at him if you're able to find him on any waivers. Let's talk about Bailey Ober. Oh, my God, this one was absolutely atrocious. I couldn't believe it. I was traveling in the car on the way to an Easter event with family yesterday, and I checked my phone, and it had been maybe 15 minutes since I had checked. And Bailey Ober allowed 8 earned runs, 3 big flies, and walked one batter as well, but who cares at that point, over an inning and a third against the Royals. What the absolute hell happened to Bailey Ober? Again, it's kind of just whatever. It's one bad start, Look at Chris Bassett's first start of the year last season. I'm not saying they're exactly the same person. They're definitely not. But, same type of range, especially if you're looking at ADPs this year. They were going very similarly. Chris Bassett got absolutely shelled by the Cardinals in this first start of the year last year. 9 earned runs or 8 earned runs. It might have even been 10. I can't remember exactly. As a Jays fan, it was kind of traumatizing. We've kind of blocked it out. But I believe it was like 9 earned runs. And Chris Bassett ended up one of the most consistent best pitchers in Major League Baseball last season, honestly. I'm not saying that's going to be Bailey Ober, but if you had reacted to that Chris Bassett start at the beginning of last year and rage dropped him because of what he did to your week one lineup and scoring, you would have really missed out. And I think there's a chance that some people are going to do that with Bailey Ober. Like, he is not among the most dropped players today, but he was dropped 2,400 times in Yahoo leagues, put him down below 90%. I mean, I think people are kind of getting ahead of themselves a little bit. That's not something that I would suggest doing. Bailey Ober should still be rostered. If you are seeing him dropped in your league, absolutely go pick him up. He's facing the Guardians on Sunday. It's not exactly a scary matchup on paper anyway. You never know what's going to happen on an individual start basis. But he's not somebody that I'm going to be shying away from here. Like, this is just a reason to buy low or pick him up if somebody did foolishly drop him.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's talk about some of these most added and dropped players on Yahoo today. If you guys don't follow me, I mentioned it earlier, but like, I put together a few different threads throughout the day. Some days it's one, some days it's three. I took Saturday off, just a family weekend thing. So there's not every single, but it's pretty much every single day. If you follow me, I post a lot of stuff on there. And earlier this morning, I was able to post, just talking about the 10 most added players on Yahoo at the time. It does kind of vary throughout the day. There are spurts of news and people go up and down in terms of ads and drops. But go ahead and follow me there because I'm not always able to record in the morning. A lot of the time I'm recording in the evening, usually in the afternoon, but sometimes it's not till the evening. So follow me there and you get these, it's not always one for one what I'm talking about. Sometimes I talk about something completely different, or it's a buy low, sell high episode or whatever. But follow me is a good way to get this stuff right when it does come out. That being said, let's talk about some of the most added players today, starting with Oswaldo Cabrera. 7-for-16 on opening weekend, couple of homers. He's been in the lineup in all 4 games to start the year. I mean, eligible at second, third, short, and in the outfield as a speculative add for your bench. I think that really makes a lot of sense. Good power speed combo. He's somebody that I don't think there's, you know, again, is he a league winner? Probably not. But the upside is a 2020 guy in a very good lineup. Like, that is the upside here. He could be a 2020 guy. Is it going to happen? I don't know. But I think he's worth adding just in case, especially with that versatility in a daily league. I think it's kind of a no-brainer to add him. He has been kind of the most, the most added player today, or second to Brady Singer. But 10,000 adds. 10,000 adds for Oswaldo Cabrera. Like, this is, you know, maybe we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but maybe we're not. Like, that kind of versatility in terms of that eligibility, playing every day in a very good lineup, even at the bottom, it's turning over for Judge and Soto for him. Okay, you know, there's going to be a lot of run opportunities, that power. Like, there's just a lot to really like from Cabrera. So I can't be too upset about people adding him the way they are. We already mentioned Michael Conforto and Jared Jones earlier, but they are also among the most added players today. Conforto, not so interesting. Jared Jones, must roster player. The whole Baltimore benching thing, I keep going back and forth. It's really a close one for me. I think that one is pretty close to a coin toss, but I'm leaning more towards starting him than I was before. I'll put it that way. One of the guys, like, this is, again, not to go on and on about this, but this is why you check these out earlier, because Tanner Houck was somebody that is a priority add for me for this week. And at this point, you're still hearing it before this game is going to start. If you're in a daily league, then go ahead and add him. 17% rostered, but especially if you are in a weekly league and you can still set the lineup, he has a 2-start week. It's a dream come true, guys. The Athletics and the Angels. It does not really get much better. You should especially pounce on him in weekly leagues, but this is a great, great opportunity to really bank some starts against some awful, awful teams. So go ahead and take a look at Tanner Houck. Abner Uribe, he was the other closer I alluded to we're going to mention. He got each of the first two saves in Milwaukee. It appears that the Brewers will hand him the role while Devin Williams is out. Joel Piams got the save yesterday on Sunday after, after Uribe had pitched the previous couple days. So people might look at that initially and be like, what the hell are they doing? But I think Uribe was likely unavailable. So he does appear to be the guy to add for me. Abner Uribe is the dude here. Dean Kramer is another guy for 2-start weeks that would have been a really, really nice add. That game is going to be getting started pretty soon. But Kansas City tonight, even in a daily changes league, though, he will get the Pirates later on in the week. So that is something to consider. The Pirates are not a terribly scary offense. They're definitely better than they were, but I think this is a really good chance to nab yourself a victory. They're going to be, you know, heavily favored in both of those matchups. Obviously, Baltimore versus Kansas and Pittsburgh, that's going to be the case. And I think that Dean Kramer really does make sense here as an ad for you guys as well. Another player who is being added a lot today is Luis Camposano. He's been pretty red hot to start the season, 9-for-23. He has hit a home run through opening weekend. That's great stuff. He should probably be rostered in a lot more than the 52% of Yahoo leagues where he is currently rostered. That feels very, very low. I think he warrants consideration even in shallow one-catcher leagues. What he's doing in a pretty solid enough lineup, especially at the top there, I think that that is something that a lot of people should be interested in. Catcher, it's a bit of a shit show. Like, if you have one of the top guys, a Rutschman type, like, no, you're not going to be moving on from them or the Real Mudos of the world. But maybe you just lost Sean Murphy. A lot of people did, and Camposano is still sitting out there in a lot of waiver wires. I think he is somebody who makes a lot of sense here as an ad. Let's talk about some of the drops today. And I think the one that makes sense to, he's not the most dropped player, but he likely will be by the time the news cycle or everybody catches up with the news cycle, is Esteury Ruiz. My God. So in case you missed it, it happened about an hour ago. He was optioned to AAA Las Vegas by the Athletics. Already they're giving up on Esteury Ruiz after a grand total of 7 at-bats this year, where, to his credit, he has gone 3-for-7. He stole a base. He scored a couple runs. I don't understand what they're doing. I think they're just an absolute shit show of an organization who doesn't really know what they're doing. I have no idea, guys. I have no idea why they would like. They really like JJ Bledé, I guess. I don't know. I think it's really stupid to send him down. Like, if you don't want to start him every single day, okay. But I just think it's really ridiculous. He's got to be dropped. He's got to be dropped. I only have him in one league, and I was going to drop him. And then at the last minute yesterday, he kind of saved himself, right? You go 2 for 4, you stole a base, and I was like, okay. You saved yourself, Esuri. You're not getting dropped this week. It's a 15-team league, so it's a little bit deeper than what I think a lot of you guys are playing. You got a warm body. You're generally holding on, especially if, you know, somebody you spent 100, you know, 150-ish pick on. I think that's where I got him, 160 maybe. He wasn't a target of mine really at all. I got him in 1 out of 14 leagues. It was the one league where I thought I was like kind of light on speed at that point. He was past ADP. Okay, whatever. But at this point, like, he's getting dropped next weekend. This is ridiculous. I don't understand what the Athletics are doing. Maybe he gets called back up in the next week before the next weekend's waiver moves are due. Then maybe he spares himself. Like, let's say they call him back up for the weekend and he hits a homer and steals a base or whatever nonsense. Maybe he saves himself. But I think in a lot of cases, Esuri Ruiz is a very, very, very comfortable drop. A couple other guys are getting dropped here that really don't make any sense. Tyler Wells is one of them. This is just absolute absurdity, but he has been dropped quite a bit. More than 1,700 leagues have cut bait on him. Luis Severino, oh my God, I forgot this one in the Saturday segment, but he's been getting dropped a lot. He had a terrible outing on Saturday. Now, he threw a lot of strikes, but it doesn't really matter that much. Like, he threw 67 of 88 pitches for strikes. But, you know, as you can see, like, if you're just looking at the blurb here on RotoWire, 7 swinging strikes, they were right on him. There's not a lot here with Severino anymore. He's so far removed from his effective days that I think that we kind of fooled ourselves. I didn't. I'm not taking a victory lap. It's way too early for that. And you look very stupid and foolish taking victory laps on April 1st. But it looks bad, guys. Like, I wasn't very interested before. I don't have him anywhere. If you do, I don't mind cutting bait on him, especially 10 and 12 team leagues. I have no problem cutting bait on Luis Severino. He's not somebody that I would feel very attached to, especially after looking at what he just did in that first start. AJ Puck is another one. You know, there's just a lot of starting pitchers here that people are overreacting to. John Gray is somebody that's getting dropped a lot. AJ Puck, DL Hall, these guys, I think it's very premature what's going on. For the most part, when you see these guys who were, you know, in most cases, and it depends who we're talking about here, but like most cases, either very expensive pickups or somebody who was fairly expensive, at least expensive enough in draft season, closing in on top 200 picks, 210, 220, and they're getting dropped already. That's generally a sign to pick them up. It's not always the case. If that you're seeing Lang get dropped and Esuri Ruiz get dropped, no. Like, they were top 150 picks. They're not pickups because they're getting dropped. They're drops for a good reason. But a lot of these starting pitcher drops are kind of ridiculous. People love to overreact to news early in the season, but that's why we do this. That's why we talk about it on Twitter. We talk about it on the podcast just to calm everybody down a little bit. That's my role here. If you're panicking, if you're worried about your starting pitchers or whatever, will generally try and calm you down here, especially in the first couple weeks of the year. There's no real need to panic on anybody, even like a Severino. Like, it looked terrible, but if Severino comes out next time out and pumps 7 innings and strikes out 10, potentially, like, it would shock me, honestly, but these things happen. It's a crazy sport. It is an absolutely crazy sport, but that being said, don't overreact to early stuff. It's still very, 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 very early. I'm looking at standings for teams, and I see there's a couple teams where I'm like 14th out of 15 or 11 out of 12, and it's like, shit, I screwed up the year already. And then you're like, no, I didn't. There's still 159 games left to happen. What's happening right now is pretty much insignificant for what's going to happen the rest of the way. So you see Bailey Ober got dropped in your league? Go pick him up, because guess what? Those 8 runs he allowed, they don't count for you. They count for whoever started him and whoever was foolish enough to drop him, if that is the case. So just be calm. That is kind of the best advice I can give you right now, this time of year. Just be calm and don't overreact to a lot of things. But that'll do it for us. Again, check me out over on Twitter. JoeOrico99 and EthosFantasyBB are the accounts to be following. We'll be back again tomorrow. But until then, take care, everybody. Have a great day. We'll be right back.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.